Episodio número 5, Pipa Secrets, cofundadora de Miami Ad School, la evolución de la academia en el mundo publicitario.
Bienvenidos al podcast semanal de Smart Vimo, una cita con lo mejor del marketing digital, tecnología y emprendimiento. Con ustedes, David Uribe.
Hola amigos, los saluda David Uribe, cofundador y CMO de Smart Vimo. Muchas gracias nuevamente por estar aquí con nosotros en nuestro podcast número 5. Muy buena acogida, muy buena audiencia de todo el mundo. Tenemos gente que nos escucha de Europa, aquí en los Estados Unidos y obviamente en Sudamérica. Así que un abrazo para todos ustedes. Gracias por las preguntas y por los comentarios. Hoy les tengo una buena y una mala noticia. La buena noticia es que tengo una gran invitada al podcast y nos va a hablar de un tema muy, muy importante. Y que quizá también es crítico hoy por hoy en nuestra industria. Y la mala es que es en inglés. Sé que a alguna gente no le gustó que hubiéramos hecho el podcast en inglés con Leslie Young de Harvard, pero bueno, quiero tener invitados de aquí también y gente top en nuestra industria, así que algunos serán en inglés, algunos en español. So I'm going to switch to English now. Hey Pipa, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's great to be here.
Amazing. So Pipa is one of the founders with her husband Ron, Secrets of the Miami Ad School, the most awarded school in the world. And I'm very, very honored to interview her. Entonces, les cuento un poco. Pipa es la fundadora con su esposo Ron del Miami Ad School, la escuela creativa más premiada del mundo, con presencia en 15 países, Asia, Europa, aquí en los Estados Unidos y obviamente Sudamérica. Y es quizá la incubadora de creativos más importante del mundo en los últimos 23 años. So Pipa, I was saying that Miami Ad School is probably the biggest and the most important incubator of creative minds in the world in the last 23 years. Is that a correct statement?
We sure try to be. We've trained over 8,000 people who are now out working in the world, in agencies, design firms, social media companies, communications platforms, brands, and they've really risen to the top of the field.
Absolutely. So Miami, like I was saying before, guys, Miami Ad School is the most awarded school in the world. We're trying to, and I'm saying we because I have the honor to be a professor there, and we're going to be talking about that in a bit. We're trying to get or to build or to forge the best creatives in the world. And I think we're doing a very, very good job since we have a lot of guys out there in the biggest agencies and also entrepreneurs and also people working on the client side that we're training as planners and even obviously creatives as well. So I'm very, very happy to have Pipa today. Pipa, so the way this works, we're gonna do 5 questions related to the industry, related to what we do, and then I'm gonna ask you a personal one so you can give us some advice on how to maybe be better professionals and maybe be more disciplined, or maybe share your tips, methods, and hobbies as well. I'm gonna think about that one as we go. Does that sound okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Amazing. So, okay, Pipa, here's the first question. So, the industry is changing a lot. There is a lot of, I say that we're living in the fourth industrial revolution, and that revolution is the information and data revolution. That said, the academy is facing like a big challenge, and we as professors and we as a school, we have a big challenge there. I wanted to know how the Miami Ad School is facing that data and information and technological revolution, and how are we basically teaching the new talents to face that in a proper way.
Yeah, since the time the school started so long ago, we've reinvented the curriculum multiple times, and it's a constant evolution, and that's really the key. We do it because all of our instructors are actually industry professionals, like you, one of the students' favorite teachers.
Thank you.
What you teach is actually what you're doing every day. We're very excited right now because we're starting to have all of our teachers who are around the world teaching the same topic collaborate so that they're cross-pollinating each other on the best case practices for a certain course. We are working with Facebook right now to implement all the creative techniques and all that they have to make great online creative, and how to get that creative seen by the right people. So we're just continuing to partner like we've always done with the best thinkers in the world.
Amazing. You know, I wanted to ask you something related to that, and that's the second question, and I'm so glad you brought it. So the Miami Ad School is essentially a global company now, and we have, you know, 15 schools in the world and probably like 1,000 active students and top professors in many countries, and that's an amazing honor for me actually to be part of the school. And like I was telling you one time, you know, when they ask me what I do in as a professional, like I always say that the biggest thing for me and the one that makes me the proudest is to be a professor there. Not even Smart BMO, not even the agency. To me, being able to teach is how I think we're shaping and changing the world. And thank you again for that honor. And I love being there.
Your teaching is a big honor to us too. You've done an amazing job preparing young people for the industry.
Thank you so much. So that said, we have a big challenge at the Miami Ad School, not only here in Miami, but all over the world. We're taking students from all over the place, and there's a big cultural difference. For instance, in some of my classes, I have people from India, I have people from Europe, I have people from Asia. I've had Koreans and Japanese people, and you know, it's quite interesting. Obviously, people from Latin America. So we're a school who's teaching creatives to be global creatives and to understand pop culture, like we always say that. So I wanted to ask you, what makes a great creative? What's the as an institution? What's the key to build and to create or to help create like creatives with a global vision of the industry?
When we started the school, the reason I have to go backwards for history for 1 minute, because then it will really tell you where what we believe. When we started the school in Miami forever ago, we decided that every week we would bring in someone from someplace else in the world to work with the students on their projects, to give the students a broader perspective. We brought in all sorts of different practitioners, from directors, art directors, illustrators, writers, and they worked on the projects. It was so successful that that's when we decided to invert that also. So instead of just bringing the great thinkers to where the students were, we took the students to where the great thinkers were. So we created programs where our students, after spending a year in Miami, could go and study and intern in New York, in London, in San Francisco, in Madrid. So they were building this huge network of people in the business that they knew, and also learning all the different skills and techniques that were popular and being used in those cultures, and how the nuances of communication there. So that was the very beginning of our global network. Then that grew into actual locations in 15 cities around the world. So now maybe a student who starts in Mexico can then go spend a quarter in Madrid, and then a quarter in New York, and then a quarter in Buenos Aires, so they get that global perspective. So no matter where they are in the world, what school they're going to, they can go and study and intern all over the world.
And that's a great point. And for those who are listening and don't know this yet, the Miami Ad School is has partnered with the biggest and, you know, broadest networks in advertising in the world. So I think that's a very, very interesting point. I didn't have the chance when I went to school to actually start somewhere and finish somewhere else, or even do an internship somewhere else. And I think that it would have been amazing for us. The Miami Ad School has, you know, a lot of partnerships all over the world. And I think that one of the keys for us to create amazing professionals, or to help forge amazing professionals, is that we're giving them also the chance and the opportunity to, or helping them to reach global markets in different cities, different countries. And that's amazing to see that people from the US start here and then end up in South America. They don't even speak the language. So I've seen a lot of my students going to different agencies all over the world, and that's amazing. I think when they come back a whole different person, a whole different professional, and I think that's one of the keys that maybe creative schools don't have these days. You know, like the one I went to, it was just Bogota, 5 years, you do it there, and that's it. And maybe you get an internship in a local company, and that's it. So it's a very, very local perspective. And I've always said as a professor that when you have a local perspective, you have a big problem, because you're missing half of the world, or most of the world, you know. So I think that's one of the keys for Miami Ad School to be a great, great school. Pipa, can you please tell us a bit on you know, like the story, short story of how you guys with Ron created the school? I know it by memory now, but I want our listeners to know how two people, a couple, you know, married couple, creates the most awarded school in the world.
My husband and I had an advertising agency and saw a real need to have young talent trained better. And so we thought, well, we think we know how to do this well. We have an idea. Let's go do it. So we actually created the school that we wish we'd gone to. One that when you went to it, you could become that creative person that you always dreamed of being and find a job that and a career that will pay you to do what you love. So that's what we did. We just created the school we wish we'd gone to. Since we'd been creative directors in the industry, we knew a lot of people. And we also knew that it would only be successful if we partnered with industry. So right now, like, we have hundreds of internships for our students all over the world, and Google and Facebook and RGA and Ogilvy are all giving us input into the curriculum, as well as our great instructors like you. And our students are interning all over the world. So it was a combination of really practical training, the students being able to get real-world experience, and Ron's and my belief that this type of creative school, to be successful, it needed to really forge deep partnerships, mutually beneficial partnerships with the key players in the industry.
I think that's an amazing answer, and one of the big gaps we have in the industry in other schools, especially the one I went to a few years ago. I don't know how that's looking now, but I've been visiting universities because we want to develop a big data program, and I'm going to tell you a bit about that because that's quite exciting. But I've been visiting universities like all over the region. I'm heading to Europe next week to do some engagements there as well, and one of the big gaps we're seeing, Pipa, is that between the academy and the real professional world is a big gap. And I think one of the biggest reasons to that, it's that people, like professors, are not industry professors, you know, they're just professors. And I think that this is one of those few careers that you cannot just work as a professor. If you're not leaving the industry, you're not going to be able to teach it because it changes so much. So I think that's one of the biggest gaps. And my next question goes towards a little about that. You know, there is a big gap between what's happening in the real world, whether you're a client or agency, with all the data revolution and the information revolution and social media and all that stuff. But there, in the academy, there are not many people who can actually teach that. And I can say that by experience because I don't, you know, wherever we go, like, still the digital people and the data people are very rare. So I think we as a school and we as an industry as well, we're facing a big challenge because the world needs people who understand data, social, digital, technology, innovation, invention. And then it's very, very hard to find people who can actually teach that. So I wanted to know and ask you, how is the Miami Ad School facing that challenge and what can we expect? Since you were mentioning that we're changing curriculum like a lot, what changes can we expect in the next few years?
Because we also do have a very, very rigorous placement program. We do job leads for life so that when someone graduates, we give them jobs forever, job leads. Mm-hmm. We receive hundreds and hundreds a year. And so we're able to see the trends and what companies are asking for and the skill sets they need from young creative professionals. And then that allows us to adjust our curriculum. Mm-hmm. But the biggest shift that we see, what's really needed now, are people that understand how to create content and how content and advertising, while very much the same, they're actually different also, and what you can expect to accomplish through each one, how you track it, how you find audiences. And so those are the things that we're focused on now. Even this morning, I was creating a stop motion animation with a new iPhone, just on the iPhone, So it's totally shot and edited and the sound created on the iPhone, because companies now need people who can create content immediately in a day. Before, you would have months to create a TV spot. Now they need things that can be published within hours, and our students need to be able to create that. And I can't just tell the students to create that. I actually need to understand how to do it also. And so that's why even me, one of the founders of the school, is learning to create stop motion animations on a film.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. I think that we definitely are on the content revolution, and not only the content generation revolution, but also the content distribution and amplification revolution. And I was interviewing people on the first podcast, one of the partnerships directors at Facebook. And one of the things he was sharing with us, you know, everything that we saw on the F8 event for developers, like, you know, the 360 camera and the Facebook Live and all that stuff. He mentioned all that, but he mentioned one thing I didn't know. Facebook is developing technology to do branded content. So kind of what BuzzFeed does, but in a programmatic, like, smart way with technology. So let's say that you are P&G and there is an influencer who's doing a lot of great content for moms. And then, for example, I don't know, Pampers wants to do content marketing rather than just do marketing as we are doing it right now. So Facebook is developing technology so brands can co-create content or do branded content with influencers, people like you and I. And I think that's fascinating, especially when it comes to technology, because they're going to use their platform to connect, you know, brands with real people that can influence audiences. And that, to me, is actually one of the future things that I'm really looking forward to. And we are investing a lot of time and technology into that, you know, connecting with influencers rather than just brands and targets, because I think that's a very vintage concept. What do you think about that?
I think it's genius. It's so logical, and to be able to do that so easily is amazing. I mean, we're using Facebook Live all the time now, and we just record it, and it's live while we're doing it, and then it stays in your feed forever. We've never been able to, in the history of the world, be able to create and publish our ideas at lightning speed that we can right now, and be able to find audiences that welcome and are hungry for our messages. It's a very exciting time to be a creative thinker.
Very exciting, and also very exciting to think that anyone can reach anyone now. Now the messages don't belong to brands anymore. They belong to everyone and anyone, and that's challenging, exciting, but also is a little dangerous, and we have to be, like, keep an eye on that. So, Pippa, my last question from my five main questions would be, you know, everyone is talking about science and art, and I think we all, you know, work towards the art side of it. So we created, you know, ideas and beautiful design and then strategy and all that was very art-oriented. And now we kind of had to switch our chip and start doing some science. In my own case, you know, that we developed SmartBimo is an algorithm that uses predictive analytics for social media content and based on, you know, statistics and probability. And yeah, that's this, our
so
science.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's a new concept. People still don't quite get it. And it's been a little challenging because I think it's like when Tesla launched the first electric vehicle, I don't know, 12 years ago, whenever they did, and nobody did actually get why we needed that at that point. And then they had to be patient until the thing exploded. I think for SmartBeam, it's kind of the same thing. We have a beautiful product. Predictive analytics is so logic, it's so obvious, it's so there, it's so accurate, but people still don't get the concept. And then for us to actually get the message out, it hasn't been easy, believe it or not. When we launched the MVP, the first product, we thought that we were going to hit the lotto, you know, and it didn't happen. We have to do a lot of education, a lot of webinars, a lot of podcasts, a lot of blog content to get people to understand why the use of data is so important in what we do. And that's my last question comes with that. So science and art, you and I are from the times of art. We did like art. We did like to design. We did like conceptual ideas. We did like the insightful path to a great idea. And we've been teaching that for a long time. For me particularly, I had to switch my chip in the last 3-4 years, and now I'm all science. But I wanted to ask you, what's your take on that? If you could tell me percentages, you could tell me what the school is doing towards science and art. How are we bringing science to the school, to the school's methodologies and teaching methods?
You'll find this funny. Before I answer your question, somebody was asking me to describe you the other day, and I was trying to think how I would do that. I said, "Oh, he's a shapeshifter," because you easily morph from the creative side to the technology side, and then the inspiration side, inspiring the students. So, how are we preparing the students for this new technological world? By embracing it and doing really what we've always done by reaching out to the top thinkers in that area. It's why you're teaching at the school. It's why we partner with Facebook and Google and RGA. Mm-hmm. The head of RGA's global strategy is the chairman of our board. Mm-hmm. And so he's collaborating with us on different projects. We actually have labs inside RGA's offices in New York and San Francisco and Ogilvy in Tokyo and YNR in Europe. So it's just those listening, doing a lot of listening to what agencies are needing. Mm-hmm. And agencies in the bigger word of that, not just advertising agencies, but communications platforms, and preparing young people for those careers.
So if you could tell me, and I'm going to make you a little uncomfortable with this, if you could tell me science and art percentages from the academy side, from the Miami Art School's perspective, which percentages are we doing science and which percentage are we doing art, and why? And I know that's going to shift, and we're living that change as well, but at this point, what are we doing when it comes to science and art?
The percentage of the science part is definitely going up, mm-hmm. but the core of what we do is still telling original stories and having original ideas. Mm-hmm. And then you're using the technology to produce it or get that in the hands of the people that need to hear it. Students came up with a graduate came up with this really great idea, and actually he was teaching in New York and had his class work on this idea. And this idea that he came up with was a new way to package Band-Aids, mm-hmm. just talking about research and statistics, mm-hmm. and it increased bone marrow donors in the United States by 300%.
Oh, wow.
Just his little packaging idea. It was such a simple mm-hmm. idea. And then he was asked to do a TED Talk on it and all. So I still think our main goal, and the main goal of the communications industry, is to tell great stories. But now we're better able to know the stories that are receptive to people, because we can look at that data.
Absolutely.
And there we're able to find the audiences because we can see that data. And then if we understand the science of how a story works on Instagram as opposed to Facebook and why you change them, that's another science, and you need to know that. So it's hard to separate. I mean, before it was easier to separate science and creativity, but now they're really married together. And you need it to tell better stories. If I had to pick a number, I would say 70-30, 70 creative, 30 technology.
Absolutely. Wow. That sounds about right and honest.
Okay.
Amazing. Let me tell you the story on my side. I don't know, people, if you know this, but in my first class, I'm teaching thinking strategically now. I've always taught that class for the last 5 years at the Miami Art School, and I did some social media and digital campaigns, but thinking strategically is the one that I like teaching the most, because it's people from first and second quarter, and I think that I can make an impact when they're starting their career. So when we get to the first class, I tell them who I am real quick, and then I present or I showed them a presentation I did on invention, and I talk about how innovation is transcending to invention. And I show them how to actually, we creatives are creating solutions beyond ideas. And the RGA accelerators and, you know, the Techstars and all that is a great example, because I tell them people like you are looking at the common problems, like very simple problems that we'll have. They validate it with data, and then they come up with a solution that has three things. To me, the key to invention is three things: hardware, software, and social media amplification. That simple. So I give them that talk. Imagine that, people, first class, first quarter with me. You know, they say that maybe people are a little scared of my classes the first time. I don't know why. Intimidated. Yeah, people feel a little intimidated on my class. I don't even understand why, but I go with that message and I tell them, guys, I need you to go this week until we meet again. I need you to find a problem that we'll have. I need you to validate it with data. These are some sources that you can check. And I need you to come next week with a solution that has hardware, a software interface, a system, and then social media amplification, validated. And they've come with such amazing ideas. And I'm going to tell you one story. So one group last quarter came with an idea where they found that we spend from 28 to 38 hours a year snoozing our phones. You know, when the alarm goes off, like we snooze and snooze, and we're wasting an average of, you know, 28 to 30 hours a year by snoozing the phone, which is amazing data. So they created this mat that you put on the next to your bed, and then the thing, you program it with your phone, you know, you can place any, put any music to it, and then when the alarm goes off, the mat will like blow your ears, like the music will come from the mat, and the only way the mat will stop is if you step on it for more than 30 seconds. And when you step on it, it was going to give you your weight, your vitals, your social media notifications, because another thing they found is that most of the people, when they wake up, the first thing they do is go to see their social media notifications, even before brushing their teeth, even before and checking their emails. So the mat would have a screen and then would show you all that stuff. And it was a very simple product. They actually validated all the production of it. Uh-huh. Well, now it's a Mashable. I think they're going to do prototyping on it or something. I think it's an amazing idea from a very basic problem. And one of the things my biggest outtake from that is that I think we also have to teach them to be entrepreneurs, to be inventors, to be innovators, not only to be writers and art directors, but also to understand problems, to validate them, and to create a solution for them. And I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm using also the Miami Ad School, or the Miami Ad School is using me also to promote entrepreneurship as well. And I love that. What's your outtake on that? Should we be incubators as well of ideas?
Oh, yes. Our students just won an amazing award. It's actually a professional award. It had never been won by students before. The International Andes gives an award called the Reset Award. And it's when the idea moves the industry forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a team of students win this award because their idea, the judges felt, actually moved our industry forward. It's a app for your phone. When a woman is being abused, she can say, "Stop it." And it makes it look like the phone is off,
mm-hmm.
but it's on. And she can say, "Stop it." And then whoever the person's name is, "Stop it, Brian."
Mm-hmm.
The phone recognizes that and dials 911.
Amazing.
But the phone remains, so it looks off, so she can't get in trouble for doing it.
Right.
And it does it all on voice recognition. So it's totally doable. It would be easy for the phone makers to implement it. Mm-hmm. And it could, you know, really help a lot of women in the world.
That's amazing. I think there's so many problems out there. There's so many things we have to fix beyond communication. And I think we creatives and we data people have the power to it. And that's what I'm trying to promote on the Miami Ad School. I don't know if you knew, but Daniel Jaramillo just won 44 awards in this. I mean, I'm counting. And he just got a beautiful offer in Los Angeles. He's one of my students a couple of quarters ago. And he invited me to eat last weekend. He said to me something like, you know, thanks to your class and thanks to everything you promoted on us as a, you know, validate ideas with data and listening to audiences in real time, and the yearning to a great idea and storytelling and everything, you know, you taught us is actually having us here, and you're teaching us to, you know, be entrepreneurs and to believe in ideas bigger than communication, and that's amazing. And I'm very, very proud and happy with that. And I think we as a school should also, you know, keep doing that and getting people to invent and not only win creative awards, but also invention awards, and also get technology out. And I think that's what's going to keep having us in the map, you know?
Yeah. One of our classes is called Pop Culture Engineering. Mm-hmm. And that's the point of that class, is coming up with ideas that are at the right moment in our culture, in our state of technology and communication. And the students are always inventing new kinds of products and ideas. Mm-hmm. Some that are freestanding as a product themselves, and other things that should be sponsored by a brand, that if that brand created that service or product or whatever, the brand would be more valuable than to their consumers.
That's amazing. I think we're going to have the next big entrepreneurs coming from the Miami Ad School, and that's what we're working so hard. Okay, people, last question, and this is going to be something more personal light and also related to what the Miami Ad School is doing. So you guys have been opening schools all over the world. We have cool, trendy markets like New York. We have Buenos Aires, which is a great creative, one of the most creative cities in the world in our industry. And I do admire and love Argentinian creativity, because I think it's so insightful and so powerful. But we're also exploring like different places that might be a little culturally challenged. Would you like to share with us maybe something funny, maybe something not so funny, maybe a little trouble that we got culturally to in one of the markets that you guys were surprised or you had to deal with? Maybe, I don't know, cultural differences, maybe, you know, the advertising is a global language, but there's also a lot of local guidelines to keep. So maybe you tried to open a school somewhere and you couldn't because of laws or because of regulations or whatever. So I'd like to know like challenges or maybe a fun story of opening Miami Ad School all over the world.
Oh, goodness. There are lots of stories. I'm trying to think of one that would be especially funny.
it could be a, like a hard one too, not so funny, but maybe a difficult one as well.
Well, we tried opening in Poland a long time ago, but we were too early. Actually,
you know what? I'm going to change it. You always tell a story in graduation that I love, and I never, like, I've been hearing it for the last 5 years, and every time it gets me in a different way, and I love it. And as I've been growing up, I've been understanding in a different way. You know what story I'm talking about, right? Which is Ron's story on the person who actually helped him, and then he saw later on. And could you share that with us real quick? I think it's a beautiful story.
It is. And I think that's really the soul of the school. And my husband was a very talented high school student and was president of the senior class, the quarterback of the football team, honor society, debate team, the school artist. He wrote for the school newspaper. But when it came time to go to college, his parents said, "Nope, we don't have money. You're going to have to go to work just like everybody else in this town." He was from a very poor town. So he was really down. His English teacher noticed and said, "Meet me at the grocery store Saturday morning at 6:30. So my husband did. And the man who owned the grocery store said, "I hear you're a really outstanding young man, and I'm going to send you to college. And don't pay me back. Someday, just send somebody else's kid to school." Mm-hmm. So my husband got through college, great grades, and then went into the industry, worked in Europe. We got married. We decided to start a school. And along the way, we've sent a lot of kids to school. So it came time for his high school reunion. And so we went back like 30 years later. And my husband, Ron, said, "Hey, let me show you where this man lived, Mr. Overton." So we're driving by in front of his house, and he's what do you know? He's there. He's 80 years old. He's getting out of his car. His son was driving. So my husband jumped out and raced over there and said, "Hi, Mr. Overton. I don't know if you remember me." And Mr. Overton, he was always a grumpy, very short man. No matter what, he was grumpy. And he said, "Of course I remember you, Ronnie Sechrist. Did you ever make anything of yourself?" And he said, Sure, I've tried. But that's one of the stories that we tell at graduation. And then we make all of our graduates promise that someday that they so many amazing people like you, David.
Thank you.
Teaching and giving back, giving them informational interviews and internships and all, that they have to promise that someday they give back by giving internships, informational interviews, teaching at Miami Ad School or any other school. Just pay it forward.
Guys, if you didn't know, the Miami Ad School is actually taking students from all over the world that maybe cannot pay for their school. And we're bringing them to the school, and we're paying full scholarships and helping them through their creative path, if you will. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, Pippa?
Yeah. One of our graduates, we gave him a scholarship. He was from Uganda. He now has one of the fastest growing companies in that country. Isn't
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We have a lot of graduates now in Nigeria who are creative directors, and they've only been out of school like maybe 3 years, and they're already like senior creative directors places because there isn't a lot of training there. So once they go through our program, they're very, very well prepared, and also in the United States and other places. But
it's amazing. Remember, guys, always to give back. It's very, very important. I think we've been extremely lucky, but also try to teach, try to give back, try to contribute. That's really, really important, and we have to keep the ball rolling. Pippa, thank you so much for being here today. I think it's one of the best interviews, if not the best we've done. So insightful, so amazing. I know a lot of people who are listening. Thank you. A lot of people who are listening to us are still going to school or doing master's programs, and they're going to take a lot of things that you mentioned that maybe as a guidance for next steps. So thank you so much for being here with us. Teaching at the Miami Ad School, like I said, is one of the biggest privileges in my career, in my life, and I'm so honored, and I hope that I can be there for 100 more years.
Good news to us.
Yeah, and we're going to keep working hard. Thank you so much, Pippa. Any final thoughts?
Keep doing the great inventive job you're doing. I'm so impressed with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and I really own the school a lot because it's keeping me working hard, reading. You know, in order to teach, you have to study a lot yourself. So one of the things that keep my head, you know, fresh is being a professor there. And I love it. I just love to teach. It's something that is in me. Remember, guys, if you want to come to the Miami Ad School, we're all over the world. Pippa, are you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook? Where are you so people can ask you questions if they want to reach out to you? Or maybe the Miami Ad School mail.
LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. The school has a great Instagram account. I take lots of those pictures myself.
Awesome. All right, guys. You know it now. If you want to get in touch with the school, we're always available. Pippa, thank you so much, and I'll see you very soon.
Great. Thanks.
Bye-bye.